You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who will be back before you know it. She's vacating. She is deservedly resting. And she misses you very much. But I'm here today along with Sweet Cal B, the Board Lord, the Calvinator, all of the nicknames. But Calvin is on the ones and twos. Calvin, how are you doing this morning?
No, Greg, I'm doing fantastic. It's Friday. We made it.
We certainly did make it. It is here. The weekend has arrived. And we have a packed, super packed show for you. At 9:35 this morning, we are going to be welcoming retired Lieutenant Diane Goldstein, who is the Executive Director of Law Enforcement Action Partnerships. She will be here to talk about the recent attack from the president on cashless bail. We're going to talk about what cashless bail is, why it's important, how it serves communities, and what getting rid of it will mean for those who are incarcerated in jail awaiting their trials. So Diane Goldstein will be on the show at 9:35. And then, of course, it's Friday, Calvin, so that means it's time to recombobulate with the political editor of Civic Media, the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulationary, Mr. Dan Schaefer. And there is a lot to talk about. There is so much going on. We're going to try to cover everything. And then 10:35 is Audio Sorbet. We got Packers coming up this weekend, so that means one thing and one thing only. Got to talk about Packers. What is your Packers superstition? We want to know from you. You can call it in. You can always get in touch with us via the Civic Media hotline. This number is the same whether you call or text. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream. You can also use that Civic Media app to get in touch with us. You can call, you can text, you can leave a voice note. And Calvin, I'm glad you just brought up the Civic Media app right now. You are just so helpful. Thank you very much. Do you know why people would want the Civic Media app today?
Well, I hear there is a exclusive text-to-win giveaway that you can only enter through the app.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is Free Ticket Friday, friends. That means that we are going to give you a keyword very, very soon. You got to stay tuned. You got to stay tuned and listen because I'm going to give you that keyword. And then you're going to take that device, open up the Civic Media app, text us that keyword. You got to text it through the app. Can't do it through your phone, can't email it, can't call, can't even yell it out of the window. You won't be entered in the contest. I'll give you that keyword. Text it in. You are entered to win a four-pack of club-level seats for the Brewers game coming up the 13th of September against St. Louis. They're going to be taking on St. Louis Cardinals September the 13th. Enter today during our show, Matinair on Air, and you'll be in the running. You're also going to have chances to enter throughout the day. You can enter once per show, per keyword. It's that simple and that easy, increases your chances. But you got to stick around. We're not giving it yet, Calvin. We're teasing them. We want them to stick around. And then in a little bit, I'll give it to them, and they'll text it in. You can't text it in, Calvin. Dan Schaefer, if you're listening right now, you can't text it in either. I can't because I work here, too. So get that Civic Media app on your device. When we give you that keyword, text it in. Good luck. But also, say hi. We'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we're going to round this show out at 10:52 with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is, Calvin named it. It's the This Snack Will Shock You edition. The look I gave him, I was just so disappointed in everything that society had to offer by this one. But yeah. 10:52 is This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Stick around for the whole show. It's going to be great. We're going to have a really, really good time. And we're really, really appreciative of you being here today and sharing, you know, your Friday morning with us. There was a story that came out last week, and I want to cover it today because everything's happening so quickly. Everything's happening all the time. And I wanted to tie it in with J.D. Vance coming to Wisconsin last Friday, where he had plenty of things to say about Milwaukee. He felt like we were not taking the, quote, offer of help from President Trump to occupy the streets of the city because apparently the crime is so bad, it's not, that we need federal troops on every corner to police our police, to police our people, to, you know, just be here as a overarching, almost a threat, but, you know, yeah, let's stick with that. Because if you don't know already, they're in D.C., and I have friends who live in D.C., and they're not keeping the streets clean and safe in the way I believe it's being portrayed. They're hanging out. I mean, they're walking around. They're on the corners. They're showing a presence. And, of course, it intimidates people. It probably keeps individuals from committing crimes. But they're also hanging out at the train station, asking people for their identification, asking them where they're going. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. And we heard from a Los Angeles judge this week that the president, quote, cannot be the country's police chief. My point being is that J.D. Vance was in town last week, and he was talking about that. But one of the reasons we thought it was very interesting he was here, especially in La Crosse, is because there was a release last week from Governor Tony Evers saying that the big bill for billionaire will cost Wisconsin taxpayers more than $284 million, also kicking around 270,000 people off of their healthcare coverage. Is going to affect rural areas, rural hospitals. We're going to kind of keep that theme going through the first half hour. And I want to hear from you, everyone listening right now. I want to hear from everyone who is on the, you know, listening on the live stream, who are listening on the radio or listening on the app. Do you live in the rural areas? How is your access to hospitals right now? How are you doing right now in all of this? Because as we've been talking on this show, how the bill is going to decimate the rural areas as far as access to hospitals, possibly access to voting, because they want to get because the president wants to get rid of mail-in voting and vote and change the voting machines. So I feel like we're just seeing the rural areas be hit and hit and hit. And I want to hear from you. Do you live in the rural areas? How is your access to hospitals? We've had some closures in the past year. It will only get worse, apparently. And that is because of this big bill for billionaires. And if you are on socialized medicine, whether it's Medicare or Medicaid, how are you preparing for what's coming down the pike? Because as we've said before, too, as well, this does not stand to take effect until after, conveniently, Calvin, after the 2026 midterms. So right now, no one's going to see much of a change. So people are going to say, well, I don't see a change. The thing is great. We're doing whatever, you know. But after 2026 into 2027, that's when we'll see a lot of the damage being done. And if you are in the rural areas, I want to know how you're doing. I want to know how you're preparing. I want to know if you see a change already just in, you know, your everyday life, because people are starting to ask questions. Governor Evers said that the taxpayers will lose about $284 million in future budgets, $142 million annually, because we do bienniums, will force 270,000 Wisconsinites to lose their health insurance and tens of thousands of Wisconsinites to lose access to basic food necessities. Because I don't want to say canceling. That's not it. They're not canceling. But they're greatly reducing the access to things like SNAP. And I bring up SNAP specifically because that has a tie-in directly with this state, because Congressman Derek Van Orten said that SNAP benefits wouldn't go down a nickel. I'm not going to make you listen to the audio again. Take my word for it. He said it. SNAP wouldn't go down a nickel. Well, because of the big bill that he voted for, both the first version, the second version, and the third version, three times he voted for this, SNAP is going to go down. So your access to food benefits will go down or go away. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services released a statement saying the big, beautiful bill will have devastating impacts on access to basic health care and food services that Wisconsin seniors, families, and kids depend on every day. By the way, this is coming from WEAU 13 News. Written by the staff, has the byline on this one. But the budget passed. It's not old news. We got to keep talking about this, because if anything, I don't want anyone to be surprised. But when next year we're just sitting there going, Doesn't seem to be bad. Everything seems to be fine because we're waiting for that 2027 new year. This big bill for billionaires is going to hurt all of us, and it's going to hurt rural people specifically. And I want to hear again, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. I want to know, do you live in the rural areas? How are you doing? How are you faring? How are you preparing for what's coming down the way here? Tony on the live stream says DVO is the worst. Play it until it's ingrained in people's brains. Don't let people forget he lied over and over again about cuts. It's true. And Calvin, if you'd like to find that clip, go ahead. We can play a little bit of it, but it's true. He sat in a room with professionals and said, SNAP would not go down by a nickel. His words. And he grew up a young man poor. That was his whole milieu about the entire thing. Is I grew up a poor man, a poor boy, government cheese, government assistance. And so he believed he, quote, had a vested interest in anything, but he didn't. He voted for the bill that's taking away the benefits. He voted for the bill that is going to close more hospitals. He voted for a bill that is going to take away health care from the people. And by the way, he's not the only Republican who voted for it in Wisconsin. They all did. But my heart right now is in the rural areas and saying, how are you doing? Because as we're mentioning here right now, the governor put out a statement saying that the bill will cost $284 million to Wisconsin and kick 270,000 people off of healthcare coverage. And in another story out of Spectrum News 1, Charlotte Scott with the byline, it says reports show three rural hospitals in Wisconsin are at risk of closure. And you know how we knew that this is a big deal? Is because after Derek Van Orten voted for the blueprint, then the bill, and then the finalized bill that came from the Senate, he then called Governor Evers to say, you've got to save the hospitals. At what point was he ever going to stand up like a man he claims to be, and say, no, not for my people, not for my district, not for my state. We need to help our people. We need to help those farmers because he believes he's of the farming class. He is sitting on the Ag Committee while nothing happens with the farm bill, and he did nothing. He voted the way of Trump. He essentially, voluntarily, and knowingly put us in harm's way because you are going to see a decrease in budget monies from the federal government, most likely. You're going to see a decrease in your health care. You're going to see closures of hospitals. Tony also on the live stream says, my wife works in a slightly larger health system, and they are looking at potentially buying up independent hospitals when the cuts force independent hospitals to potentially close. Well, at least someone's doing something, because right now our congressmen, our representatives, our, quote, leaders are doing nothing. We're going to keep the conversation going. We want to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Do you live in the rural areas? How are you coping right now? There's going to be a lot happening with this bill coming down the line, affecting our rural folks. Let us know. Drop a line. Love to hear from you. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently resting, relaxing, and just living the good life. She'll be back before you know it, and we're happy you're here right now. You can join us by calling, texting, same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Calvin, I think it may be time for a keyword. I think it may be time for us to tell everyone what that keyword is. Are you ready to learn what this keyword is?
Oh, I am chomping at the bit. Should we get a drum roll?
I think we should absolutely get a drum roll. So get your Civic Media app out. Get it ready to text in the word catch. C-A-T. C-A-T-C-H. Catch is the keyword for this show, for this program, for the next hour and some minutes. You want to text that word and get the Civic Media app, download it, open it up, text the word catch, C-A-T-C-H. And you will be entered into win a four-pack of club-level tickets to see the Brewers take on the St. Louis Cardinals on the 13th of September. Good luck to you. Text in the word catch. I just want to let Kevin from Omro know that the word you texted in was not the correct word. So if you're listening right now, Kevin in Omro, the word is catch. C-A-T-C-H. Spelling matters. Spelling counts. And you must do this through the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, get it right now. Open it up. Text us the word catch and you'll be entered. And then you'll have another chance on the Tom Hartman Show, another chance on Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, as well as Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. But good luck to you. Again, text the word catch, C-A-T-C-H. I almost spelled that word wrong because I wasn't looking at it, Calvin. But we were talking about the effects of the big bill for billionaires, the big, beautiful blob of a bill. And I want to connect this in with the fact that Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr. appeared on Capitol Hill yesterday to be essentially grilled by the Senate, Republicans and Democrats alike. And we have a small clip of that really quick. If you have any idea of how it went, this will give you a representation of the tone. Calvin, can we play that clip?
Mr. Secretary, do you agree with me that the president deserves a Nobel Prize for Operation Warp Speed?
Yeah, absolutely, Senator.
It also surprises me because you've canceled $500 million in contracts using the mRNA vaccine platform that was critical to Operation Warp Speed. Again, an accomplishment that I think President Trump should get a Nobel Prize for.
The reason that Operation Warp Speed was genius is it did something nobody had ever been done. I don't think any president but President Trump could do it.
Do you accept the fact that a million Americans died from COVID?
I don't know how many died.
You don't have any idea how many Americans died from COVID?
I don't think anybody knows.
How can you be that ignorant?
Just for clarification, the Secretary of Health and Human Services thinks that Operation Warp Speed deserves Donald Trump a Nobel Prize, even though he doesn't believe in the vaccination. There were 103,436,829 confirmed cases of COVID-19, with 1,226,351 COVID deaths. This comes by way of papers from Our World in Data, as well as Johns Hopkins University. The fact that that man does not know those numbers is frightening to me. The fact that he does not understand that the vaccination actually served a wonderful purpose, that all vaccinations serve a great purpose. And the fact that we are looking at a world where we have been looking down upon that is a whole other conversation. By the way, that whole clip is 2.5 minutes long and it includes straight up arguments. But the reason why I wanted to bring it up, and it connects with what we were talking about before, is the New York Times put out an article about the 5 takeaways of RFK Jr.'s appearance on Capitol Hill. And one of them being rural hospitals and pharmacy benefit managers rounded out the discussion. $50 billion has been bandied about in funding that targets hospitals and clinics in rural areas. Because, by the way, I just want to bring up one other point, too, and I think we don't talk about this enough, everyone, is it's not just hospitals that are closing, it's clinics. Clinics in rural areas also close, and they serve a specific purpose for specific services. They are closing as well. $50 billion in funding targeted to hospitals and clinics in rural areas. Sounds great, but $50 billion will only go so far. Unfortunately, Bernie Sanders brought up the fact that the legislation that was passed was expected to result in a net loss of $100 billion in funding as a result of Americans losing their insurance because of the rollbacks on the programs. So I just wanted to bring that up again because we are looking at a bill that is going to be hammering on our rural areas, closing hospitals, closing clinics, throwing people off of their health insurance. We've talked to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about this a lot. They will have to travel further for access to health care, and that is difficult. Some of these individuals may live hours from a hospital. But that is what our Wisconsin legislation, Republicans at least, that's what they voted for. They voted for a bill that would do that to us. If you don't like it, go to myvote.wi.gov, put in your information, and look up who represents you. It goes all the way from the president right down to the dog catcher, if that's who you vote for as well. You can put in your information. Your representatives will come up. You can call them. You can send them a letter and tell them, do you like what they're doing? If in the case of this, if you don't like what they're doing, tell them this. They need to know. And we still always want to hear from you to see how these things are affecting you, because they will over time affect you. Text in the word catch, C-A-T-C-H, to the Civic Media app. If you have the Civic Media app, if you don't, get it. And then text us and you'll be in the running for some tickets to see the Brewers on the 13th of September take on the Cards. After the news, we're going to be returning with the executive director. Her name is Lieutenant Diane Feinstein. She is a retired lieutenant, and she is the executive director of the Law Enforcement Action Partnership. We'll be talking about cashless bail and how we need to resist the targeting from President Trump. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation. She just texted. She misses you a lot, and she'll be back before you know it. If you want to get in touch with us, give us a call, text or call. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and what in this house we still call Twitter, but you can always watch us. You can always commentate. I don't think that's a word, but I just said it. Also, if you have the Civic Media app, get that app on your device, on your phone, and text the word CATCH, C-A-T-C-H, in right now, and you will be entered to win a four-pack of club-level seats to see the Brewers take on the St. Louis Cardinals on the 13th of September. Keyword during our show, and then more chances throughout the day. We'll talk more about it throughout the show. But yeah, text in that word CATCH, C-A-T-C-H, and good luck. I am so very, very excited, happy, and honored to have our next guest on the show. Retired Lieutenant Diane Goldstein is the Executive Director of Law Enforcement Action Partnerships. And she is on today because we received a press release from their group regarding cashless bail and the attacks from the president on this matter. But first, I want to say welcome to the show, ma'am. It's great to have you here. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us this morning.
You know, Greg, my pleasure. We're incredibly honored because the way that we change our communities for the better is through public education and fun and rational discourse.
Absolutely. Now, tell us about you. You are a retired lieutenant. You are the executive director of this group. Tell us about you and tell us about the Law Enforcement Action Partnership.
Sure. So I started policing in 1983 because I'm old. And I retired as the first female lieutenant for the city of Redondo Beach in 2004. So my career really set the stage for the future advocacy work because I saw the failures of the criminal justice system to treat and prevent crime because we were criminalizing socioeconomic issues mm-hmm. that we would never be able to fix, right? We're like, we should be the last straw into that big punch bowl of criminal justice world, not the first. And so I did narcotics work. I did gang work. My narcotics work was I ran an 8-man surveillance unit. I started a school resource officer program. So we can laugh about bail because I had an egg thrown at me, kind of similar to the sandwich issue, but we laughed about it, yeah. Right? It's like, you know, I look at the sandwich guy as a hero almost, kind of in a Banksy type way in DC. There's all sorts of street art popping up yeah. with the sandwich guy throwing sandwiches yeah. at yeah. Certain members of the administration, right? But so I saw the distinct failure very specifically around the issue of our drug control strategies that have never been based on saving people's lives. Mm-hmm. They've always been based on churning people through the system. And my brother who my older brother, who, you know, there's kind of the joke in law enforcement, you know, what separates cops and crooks? Not much. We veered right. Somebody else veered left. And that was the story of my brother and I. But he suffered from mental health issues. He was bipolar, substance use disorder. And so he got in trouble. He was a risk taker. And I saved him on a number of occasions. Then he became a person in recovery. And after 20 years of being a person in recovery and being successful, he died from a drug overdose because he lost access to his healthcare, his psychotropic meds, his therapist, and started self-medicating again and got stuck back into the criminal justice system. So, you know, it's not that I joke and kid and try to poke fun at his death, but sometimes that's just the way that I deal with issues is that could have been me. Mm-hmm. And we joked about it for years. I became a cop. In some aspects, he became a crook because he was cooking meth for really bad people at one point in his life.
So the Law Enforcement Action Partnership, I mean, the name can conjure up certain, like you can hear it, Law Enforcement Action Partnership.
Right.
People can make assumptions on it, but really, and during our break, you kind of gave me a little taste of what you do and more so what you are endorsing or, you know, what you believe in. Tell us more about that group, what you do.
Sure. The Law Enforcement Action Partnership was founded in 2002, but back then we were a single focused nonprofit educational group that four retired American cops, one active duty Canadian cops, understood the damages of the drug war and started the organization called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. So we were the outlier cops that were dismissed as being the crazy cops because we would, you know, they would stand on Capitol steps across the country and across the world and say, cops say legalize drugs. Ask us why. And back then it was really like people were really taken aback. And so from there, we ended up recognizing in 2017, when I was a member of the board and not the executive director, is that we actually had a lot of folks in the criminal justice system, from police chiefs to attorney generals to AUSAs to the gamut of the criminal justice system, anyone who touched it, mm-hmm. who were like, hey, we love your message and we completely agree, but we can't say those filthy words.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's something that, you know, I think when we talk about the relationship and the fraternity of the police force, the policing in, like, you know, what did Eisenhower call them? The military industrial complex, the policing industrial complex. There is definitely a line that seems to be towed that has to be agreed upon, or else there are consequences. And I don't really want to, we're here to talk about cashless bail, but I think that's important because I think what you're bringing up is the fact that while policing as an entity may be a monolith, police officers and police work, the humans within that organization are not. They have opinions, and unfortunately, they can't always say them out loud. And I cannot believe, and I know for a fact, because I used to work at a place, and I remember listening to a young police officer in Racine, 24 years old, saying, do you think I want to arrest people for carrying a joint? I don't. That's not why I signed up. I don't care if they get high. But this is, I think what you're saying is what people need to hear, because it also brings nuance to the discussion of the policing industry.
Yeah, and getting to cashless bail, because this is a very controversial point in policing right now. There's a lot of very similar rhetoric that's being used by criminal justice professionals, but there's a lot of law enforcement professionals. And I think to the point of where our organization is now, we provide public safety solutions that are innovative, forward thinking. And what our organization has done in many aspects is we've dragged the policing profession kicking and screaming into the 21st century. Mm-hmm. On a significant number of issues. And I'm incredibly proud of that. I have countless stories of messaging. You know, what you do is you message, mm-hmm. and we can change the narrative of policing and make them critically think of what's the proper role of policing. It's about gaining the trust of our constituents and thinking about wielding and enforcing laws with a scalpel, not with a cudgel.
Exactly.
Right. And cashless bail, I think, is ripe for that discussion, because I think that people think about cashless bail as it's going to release all these really bad criminals. And I would suggest to you, it's actually the opposite, that what we should be doing is cashless bails provides the criminal justice practitioners, and very specifically judges, the ability to design systems that are threat-based bail decisions. And that's what's going to protect the public. And as I recall, in Wisconsin a few years ago, there was a lot of controversy around this issue, because you had, wasn't it the parade where he had been released on cashless bail for a low-level offense, and then this happened, and there were calls to change the Wisconsin bail system. We should really look at who's a danger first and foremost, and then the secondary issue should be, are they going to appear in court?
Well, and so if you're just joining us right now on Matt and Air on Air, we're speaking to retired Lieutenant Diane Goldstein. She is the Executive Director of Law Enforcement Action Partnerships. And we're talking about cashless bail. And the reason why we're talking about it is because your group put out a press release either earlier this week or I think it was last week, about the fact that President Trump has focused his target on this system. And for me personally, I had never heard of cashless bail until a few years ago. And I think I know at first my first thought was, wait, what do you mean cashless bail? And all it did, it took like a half an hour of reading to realize, oh, this is a system based in criminalizing being poor. It is about packing our prisons. It's our jails, because it's people who are awaiting trial. And when we look at, if we're setting bail for somebody, we look at their threat. Are they a flight risk? Right. Do they have a record? If someone isn't fitting that, there is nothing there to say, well, you are out until this date for your court date, then you must come back. If you don't, you are then going to be arrested for jumping bail or whatever. But that was the thing for me, is having my mind blown by a very simple fact that not only can cashless bail exist, but it's not detrimental to the community, because it's not just letting everybody out of the door saying, come back in a month or 2 months. It's more nuanced than that, of course.
Yeah, and I know that we're probably going to be taking a break shortly, is I think you just said something that's so critically important, is we have to start looking at the totality of the criminal justice system as multiple layers that all need to be connected. And instead, currently, we silo public safety away from everything else that is more efficacious, is based on empirical research, and actually leads to public safety. So we need to stop thinking and using rhetoric to define what public safety means.
I think one of the things, too, is we have to destigmatize, or maybe the better term is I might get comments for this, but please let me say it, folks. Take public safety, law and order off the pedestal, because when we have put it there, so any changes seems like we're trying to upend the system, whether it's saying we don't want to defund the police. I'm not talking about that. We don't want to do X, Y, and Z. It's more about the fact that we're trying to modernize the system. And when we come back after the commercials, I want to talk about the benefits cashless bail actually has on the lawyers, has on the police officers, the buildings that hold them, and the fact that this doesn't just benefit the people who are arrested, it benefits the community on the whole. But we are talking to Executive Director of Law Enforcement Action Partnership, retired Lieutenant Diane Goldstein is our guest today. We're going to keep the conversation going. If you want to be a part of it, call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75 Civic, or leave a comment on the live stream. We're going to keep it going. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Mattinair, who is currently on vacation, vacating deservedly. She misses you, and she'll be back before you know it. If you want to get in touch with us, call or text us the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, and also text the word catch, C-A-T-C-H, to us through the Civic Media app, only through the Civic Media app, and you are entered to win a four-pack of club-level seats to see the Brewers take on the St. Louis Cardinals on September the 13th. So once again, that word is catch, C-A-T-C-H. Spelling counts, must be the app. Good luck to you, and we'll talk more about that later on in the show. We're welcoming back our guest, retired Lieutenant Diane Goldstein, who is the Executive Director of Law Enforcement Action Partnerships. We're talking about cashless bail. And the reason why we're talking about it is because recently President Trump has aimed his bullseye at cashless bail. It is a program that has been coming, that was started years ago and is becoming more and more popular. And we're talking to the retired lieutenant here about their group's endorsement of cashless bail. And one of the things I wanted to discuss is that this isn't something just designed for the people who are arrested. This lessens the amount of people in jails. This lessens the workload for those who work in those jails, for the lawyers. This has a overall benefit for everybody involved in this process, not just the people who are going through the court system, right?
Yeah, and you know, there's so much to be said. Let's take a look at like economic arguments, right? Mm-hmm. Just as a start, is from economic arguments on both sides of the fence. Is I don't know the exact cost of what it takes to detain someone in the state of Wisconsin at a county jail pretrial, but I will tell you in California, it's over $50,000 a year if you remain in pretrial detention. And then, so you look at overcrowding issues, you look at the creation of unsafe environments, not just for people who are detained, but for those correctional officers or those deputies or the civilians that are working in that type of environment. Mm-hmm. So that's number one, is when we look at policies, there should be beneficial aspects for not just the people that we are managing through the system, but the public, fiscal resources, safety resources, and also the overcrowding also causes huge issues within jail populations as well. We see a lot of injuries, police officers or correctional officers and those working in county jails are unable to manage those populations in a safe manner. Overtime, there's like so many issues. But then you start thinking about the economic factors. Most county jail, most people in county jails are not necessarily there for violent crime. Mm-hmm. And we should be saving our resources for people in the system who harm people, not because you failed to appear on a misdemeanor. And that happens a lot. So then you start thinking about the war on poverty. You know, you have a low level offense, you forget to go to court, it ends up in a failure to appear, you get rolled up, you lose your job, you lose your housing, your kids then get put in foster care. I mean, there's just these escalating consequences to people. And what we know, and all you have to do is not saying that Illinois is a better state than Wisconsin in any way, shape, or form. Go Brewers, right? I'm a Brewers fan versus a Cubs fan. Okay.
You're welcome my house anytime. All right.
Okay. But you know, Chicago went through this. They passed, or Illinois went through this. They passed the Free Trial Fairness Act in 2021. There were lawsuits filed against it. It was finally declared constitutional, implemented in 2023. So now we're looking at evidence. Let's look at data and outcome. University of Chicago at Loyola, not known for their liberal tendencies as a as a university or research, right? Finally started doing kind of some outcome studies. The data is limited. It's ongoing. but it is promising. They took the first 6 months of 2023 as a comparison to the first 6 months of 2024 and saw no increase in crime because of cashless bail. But what was really interesting, Greg, is that they also looked at the failure to appear rate. And so before the act was passed, is the failure to appear rate was 17%. It's actually dropped down to 15% because one of the things that states across the country are doing is looking at technology to get people to court. So there's better use of attorneys or other, you know, human capital that is very cost intensive. And so a lot of states, counties, municipalities who are working within this realm have developed systems that reminds people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, don't forget, you got a court appointment.
Yeah.
And they're seeing that also contribute and help. So there's multiple ways to skin the cat, right? It is, I joke that law enforcement, we're the best plagiarizers in the whole entire world, because why do I want to develop and do all the research on the new policy if another state has a piece of legislation or a policy that has already been effectively implemented with the proper outcomes?
And this is something I'd love to have you back to talk about, because as we're seeing, you know, all this information, all this evidence provides nuance to the discussion
right.
of what the president is trying to attack, which, you know, you can basically say it's an attack on poor people who can't afford bail. And we exactly. see the evidence that shows that this is not the case. This is not criminals running free. So, Lieutenant, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time. We're going to have you back to talk about this and the other things that your group discusses. Retired Lieutenant Diane Goldstein is the Executive Director of Law Enforcement Action Partnerships. We're going to take a quick moment to get the news. When we come back, Dan Schaefer's here to recombobulate. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned. Thank you so much, ma'am, for being here.
Thank you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.